Insane. And when that got announced, one of my fellow bartenders last night, he said, you know, hey, did you hear about Claude Julien? And I'm like, why, what happened? He's like, it's rumors going around. I don't know if it's confirmed, but the Habs hired him. And I'm like, what? Why would they fire their coach, their number one in their division right now? Yeah. It's only going to make the rivalry between us and the Canadians that much better.
But what are the odds?
I know.
That you get fired twice by the same team to bring in the same guy?
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
Hey, the Bruins have looked good the past couple nights.
I got to make good on a failure to include a PSA, like a current PSA, in the thing that we did before Gladys Knight came on. Here's the deal, kids. It's storm season with power outages and weather-related emergencies more likely than the rest of the year. So be prepared ahead of time by having a couple of gallons of drinking water and at least a few days worth of healthy, tasty, ready-to-eat food already stored in your home. Let other people scramble to the supermarket and wait on long lines while you safely ride out the storm from the comfort of home. A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. This is what you do. Go to the supermarket now.
That should include smart people. Go to the liquor store.
You know what they have at the supermarket now? All the bread, batteries, and water you could possibly want. Go load up on them right now. This whole show is a public service announcement. I don't know why I... rat urine.
Ooh, I know this one. Because it's really gross. Rat urine is apparently causing a lot of sickness in New York. I forget what neighborhood in Manhattan is, but there's one like kind of contained area, and this sickness
it's not
only
in Manhattan.
It's in New York, Brooklyn.
No,
Bronx.
Yes.
It's in that Bronx. It's in that right. area.
Now we're in the.
But it
losing,
only
you're losing shades of a point with every.
It only comes from rat urine.
Yeah, two people got sick and one person died in the concourse. Neighborhood of the Bronx,
and it's hard to pass it from person to person. It's just from. Getting it from the urine.
Leptospirosis. That's what it's called, kids. Leptospirosis. Easily treatable with common antibiotics if you go see your doctor, which apparently the guy who died didn't. Also, easy. It doesn't transmit from person to person. You have to come in contact with the rat urine to get it.
Yeah.
So, kids, especially if you're in the Bronx, keep your hands out of the rat urine. Don't touch the rat urine.
Yeah, looking at some of the pictures in the articles that were printed about it, you pretty much have neighborhoods that are completely covered with rat traps everywhere. Yeah. And if you've ever been in those areas, you know, yeah.
Rat urine.
Not good. Jeffrey Sandusky.
He is the son of former Penn State head coach Jerry Sandusky, who is in jail on child molestation charges. And he was arrested this week on child molestation charges, proving once again that the apple does not fall far from the tree. The one thing I think we can say for Jeffrey is that he likes little girls, while his dad apparently likes little boys.
I hate that I'm laughing at that, like, but it's so sad. Now, state police say that Sandusky sent inappropriate texts and asked for naked photos from two victims. Bail was set at $200,000 and prohibited from contacting minors. And his dad, Jerry Sandusky, we know, famed from Made Joe Paterno, lose his job, whether he knew, which he probably did know, at Penn State, costing, I think that was like $250 million.
Yeah.
And it ended up costing Penn State. Sad.
One of
really, really, really sad.
One of the victims in the
disgusting.
Jeffrey Sandusky case is the teenage daughter of his long-term girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Shameful.
Like, yeah.
Creep.
Absolute creep. Kim Jong-nam.
That is the half-brother of Kim Jong-un, and he was poisoned and died in an airport. People are saying one woman was arrested, actually, today. But they were saying in the first initial accounts that two women ran up to him and threw some sort of liquid on him, which was like some type of poison, and he fell over and died.
Well, he went to the an airport terminal counter and said, "I don't feel well," and died on his way to the hospital. My favorite detail about this, because I did pick up one of the women today. This woman was seen in the video during the assassination wearing a T-shirt that said LOL.
Yeah.
Don't wear your LOL T-shirt while you're killing somebody. It is not professional.
Yeah, she was detained today, like we said, in Malaysia's Kuala Lumpur International Airport, carrying a Vietnamese travel documents. So earlier, South Korea's Intelligence Committee said that two Asian women were suspected. So we do have one. Investigators are still waiting the results of the autopsy.
Yeah.
Not good. PewDiePie.
That's not how it's pronounced.
PewDiePie? PewDiePie?
That is how it is pronounced, yes. PewDiePie. PewDiePie has been removed from YouTube Red, and his contract with Disney Maker Studios has come to an end due to some controversial content that he posted on the internet. Specifically, he went on the site Fiverr.com and paid a couple of guys in India to hold up a sign saying, "Kill all the Jews," which he thought was hilarious and was making a point about how people on Fiverr.com will do anything. He's also from a part of the world that is not known for a glorious history with the Jewish people.
Yeah.
So
quickly, Disney put the kibosh on that one.
If you've never heard of him...
I think that was a doomed relationship.
If you've never heard of him, it just means that you have a life, kids. Don't go out of your way.
Reason why I mispronounced his name.
PewDiePie, yeah.
PewDiePie.
Yeah.
Not PewDiePie.
PewDiePie and the rest of the YouTubers, really, the less you know, the better your life is. That's how it goes. There's an inverse relationship between the quality of your life and what you're doing with your time on this planet and how much you know about YouTubers and other internet celebrities. The more you know about internet celebrities, the poorer your life is.
Oh, but they're so entertaining, Derek.
No, they're really not. No. Hissing cockroach.
There's a hissing cockroach named Tom Brady.
Correct.
I believe it was, it's in Atlanta.
Yes, he's at the Atlanta Zoo.
Yes, and they named a cockroach after Tom Brady.
There was a bet made between the Atlanta Zoo and the Roger Williams Park Zoo in Rhode Island, where the loser would have to name a baby animal after the quarterback of the winning team. Both zoos apparently knew something was, you know, that the losers would do something. Mm-hmm. So apparently they both agreed that it would be a hissing cockroach. So if Matt Ryan had won, there would be a hissing cockroach.
There wouldn't be a panda named Matt Ryan.
No, there would be a hissing cockroach at Roger Williams Park Zoo named Matt Ryan. Why do all these zoos have hissing cockroaches? Right. That's what I want to know.
Hooters.
Love them.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant?
Yes.
Not what's new in Playboy.
No.
Okay.
We got those Hooters. We're talking about the restaurant Hooters.
When?
Monday. It was all over business.
Yeah, no. I somehow missed...
They just announced that because, you know, it's not just all about the boobs, it's about the wings. They announced that they are going to start opening fast casual restaurants. And actually, the first one opened up on Monday in the suburbs of Chicago. So they're trying to jump on this whole bandwagon craze of these fast service concepts.
Yeah.
Where you order at the counter, you know, you wait for your food to come. Apparently, their wings are in demand.
Miss, your boobs are in my picante sauce.
Right.
Is that what's going to be happening?
No, you're not going to have the T-shirts. They're
what?
Not having... Yeah, it's going to be male and female.
It's on Hooters.
Registers. It's called Hoots.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Am I at least going to be able to get $2 shots with my lunch?
No alcohol.
Oh, come on.
No orange shorts, no shiny tights.
What's the point?
Yeah.
If you just want to sell your wings, sell them in the supermarket. Don't go open up a fast casual place.
I'm right.
The whole reason to go to Hooters is the $2 shots and some...
What do they have $2 shots of?
There's always a $2 shot of something in there. Yeah.
Can't be good.
It's some like well gin that you don't want to drink a lot of, but they get a $2 shot.
Or take a shot of.
Yeah. $2 shots and, of course, the women who work there. That's why you go to Hooters. Wings are pretty good, but... Not that good. Dear head of the snake.
Dear head of the snake?
Yes.
Ooh. I was on a roll, too. You just ruined it. I don't know.
I can always catch you with something that I post on our Facebook page.
Wait.
Big picture. Facebook.com/bigpicturewmfo.
I looked at all of them, too. Dear head of the snake?
I even broke this out separately in my comment on the article.
Yeah, the dam. No. No.
That's how Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the former leader of Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, addressed a letter to President Barack Obama written in January 2015, in which he said 9/11 was America's fault. The very first thing in it, dear head of the snake. And my comment under it, I'm going to start addressing all my correspondents, dear head of the snake. Especially if it's going...
Have you been utilizing that in your job emails?
If it goes, well...
To your clients?
The client emails, not so much, but if I got to send something to Comcast, it's definitely being addressed, dear head of the snake.
AKA Comcast.
I strongly recommend, because people who listen to the show tend to be better informed about everything that's going on out there, go find that letter and read it. Because it will tell you more. It's wildly inaccurate, of course. But it will tell you more about how Al-Qaeda views the United States and how they see themselves than all of the reporting and intelligence that you've read over the last 16 years. This is it, straight from the horse's mouth, and it is a compelling read. It really is, because it will give you a tremendous amount of insight into who our enemy is and what our enemy believes. I cannot recommend it highly enough. I actually read it where it's like 15 pages. It's not that long. Sounds like a lot. It's not that long. It's double spaced. Khalid double spaces.
All right, last one for you. Andrew Puzder.
He was going to be the Secretary of Labor. He's now going to have to go back to work at Hardee's because he has withdrawn his nomination for a variety of reasons, including hiring an illegal to clean his house. Possible labor violations at his Hardee's and Carl's Jr. restaurants, and because he may or may not have beaten his wife, something that his wife denies, but apparently Oprah handed over a videotape of Mr. Puzder's wife on her show anonymously saying, "My husband beats me."
Yeah. Once again, Elizabeth Warren was quite vocal in her opposition of Mr. Puzder. She was talking about how year after year there had been accusations against him and his company for sexual discrimination, for unfair wages, and so on and so on. So,
yeah.
Another spot to fill.
Yep. Let's see. Oh, that broke late today. American Girl.
Ooh, there's a new American boy.
Correct.
And his name's Logan, and he is a farmer, I believe.
No, you're losing half a point for that.
But I knew his name was Logan. He worked, like he does something.
Yes, he does. As does everyone in the American Girl canon. What does he do? This is kind of key to the whole thing.
He does something like rake something, or he has something in his hand.
He has claws that pop out, and he uses them to carve up the bad guys. No, that's a different Logan.
Not the X-Men.
His name is Logan Everett. He's from Nashville. Is it ringing any bells for you yet?
Farmer, country singer.
No. He is the drummer in the band for the new country singer doll that they have coming out this year. He is the first.
That's right.
He is the first boy doll in the 31-year history of American Girl. And apparently there were tons of requests from fans who were like, "We want a boy. Make a boy. Please make a boy. Put out a boy." So you get a boy now. And you never know. They may open up a new demographic with this as well. Because there's stuff.
It's amazing. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, there were... there were four, and then they introduced one more, and that was the best toy to have.
Oh,
every
yeah.
girl, I mean, you were lucky enough if you had one. Some people had the full collection of them, and it was everything. Now seeing the evolution of the company and what they do is really, really good, and trying to introduce more ethnicities to kids.
And history.
Look at some, yes, too, because they always had a story behind it, how they grew up, what their family did. But the evolution of the company and seeing the now massive branding of it was done very smart. And yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say
well,
enough.
Mattel owns it now, and Mattel has actually done a pretty good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't normally praise, you know, the corporate interests around these parts. But praise where praise is due. And Mattel has actually done a good job with this brand. And interesting to see.
Not bad.
So, the first American boy.
We're pretty good this week.
Yeah, we're both pretty good this week. Except that I didn't put the thing into the thing with the thing. So
for being in a Valentine's Day haze.
Man, I'll tell you something. Between the drinks I had last night and all of the... I'm losing my mind trying to keep up with everything that's going on, you know, because it's like, get out of work yesterday and it's like, I can't go home and do the radio show. I gotta put the thing together.
Yeah. You have to look nice and...
Yeah.
You guys had a good Valentine's Day?
Yeah,
took the wife out to dinner.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Then I went home and said, go away. I have to work on a radio show. No, I actually didn't. I did all the show prep today, and I was like, I'm going to be so vulnerable until you hear this week. 855-915-9636. When we come back, Michael Flynn, he's gone. We're going to talk about not so much the reasons why he's gone as what's going on behind the scenes and why this is not good news for America. This is bad news. If you are happy that Michael Flynn is gone, I will change your mind about that in a couple of minutes. But before that, how about a little bit more James Earl Jones from my very favorite album of all time, from the Social Security Administration in the late 1970s. Here is another episode of Genius on the Black Side.
Hello, this is James Earl Jones for Social Security, welcoming you to Genius on the Black Side. Time was when black singers, composers, and musicians had to struggle in the backwaters. Now, in the concert halls, on Broadway stages, and on Hollywood sets, they're right up there, front and center. And right up front, I'd like to invite you to listen to a genuine example of Genius on the Black Side. Today, we're honoring a man of many musical talents. Grammy Award winner Donny Hathaway, who died tragically early in 1979. Donny is probably best remembered for his highly successful musical partnership with Roberta Flack. Remember that big hit, The Closer I Get to You? But Donny was more than a singer. He was a composer, lyric writer, and a fine pianist. We listen to an example of Donny Hathaway's rich voice after this. With the continuing rise of inflation and high unemployment, many people just can't make ends meet no matter how hard they struggle. But some of these people may be able to get help. If you know someone who is 65 or older, or blind or disabled, and who has little or no income or resources, here's some information you can pass along. The Supplemental Security Income Program makes monthly payments to needy people 65 or older, or blind or disabled. This program is run by the Social Security Administration, but the money for the program comes from federal general taxes. Any Social Security office will be glad to provide more information and help with an application. So if you know any needy people you think may be eligible for these monthly SSI checks, tell them help is as close as the nearest Social Security office. Please pass the word. And now, Donny Hathaway with Roberta Flack singing Where Is the Love?
You told me that You've got to let me know.
Love in his music, the music of Donny Hathaway. Well, once again, it's time to go. And once again, it's time to remind you that you must apply for Social Security benefits. They do not come automatically. If you have any questions, just visit or call any Social Security office. They'll be glad to help you. Until next time, when we pay tribute to another genius on the black side, this is James Earl Jones saying so long.
Hey, there he is. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Rick, over here.
Hey, I'm sorry I'm late.
Yeah, sure.
It's going to be a short workout tonight.
Why?
I just met this fine female form. Met her outside.
Yeah?
I think I'm going to get lucky.
Frank, you're dumber than a box of rocks. What do you actually know about this fine female? You're going to get lucky, all right, and end up with the big STD.
STD?
Well.
Sexually transmitted diseases. If you think you're going to get lucky, think again. A message from the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and we are The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday, 7 to 9, 855-915-9636. So once again this week...
Hail Comrade.
Media outrage. Media is in a tizzy. They're freaking out why Michael Flynn resigned his post, his very short post at the White House, amid a scandal. This huge... scandal. Scathing. You know, so he must have committed, like, sedation. No. Violated the Logan Act. Nope. Discussed classified or released sensitive material. Nope. Didn't do that either. So, Derek, the question is, well, what did he do? And in my opinion, truthfully, I don't think that he did anything wrong. He's guilty of no crime, and the worst thing that we can say is that he, what, was dishonest to the vice president. And so, what I believe, nobody's really discussing the facts, so that's what we're here to give you and maybe a different angle to look at the story. But essentially what happened...
Well, no. Chuck Schumer's talking about the facts. Yeah. He wants to know what Donald Trump knew and when he knew it.
Well, here's the thing. You would think that the media, and we say it so many times on the show that this is what we do, you would think that the media would want to be discussing the facts and giving you everything that happened in its totality. And then giving you the opportunity to think for yourself.
No. They want you to be scared. Yep. We're talking about this as the start of the show.
And then come to a conclusion.
Be scared. Be afraid of the Russians. Yep. That is America. If you were an American, it is your job to be afraid of the Russians. The media told you so. The media says be afraid of the Russians. Are you afraid of the Russians yet? Mm-hmm. How many times does the media need to say be afraid of the Russians before you will be afraid of the Russians? Now go and be afraid of the Russians like a good American.
Mm-hmm. So we'll give you the facts. So Michael Flynn, he was a former director of national intelligence. He ended up being picked as the cabinet point of the head of national security. So in this time of when Donald Trump was elected in November into, you know, where we are now, he has had conversations just like any new administration would be coming in, has had conversations with the Russian ambassador, you know, just talking casual. We don't know the length of conversations. We don't know how many conversations. We don't know really what they were talking about, essentially. Now, but you can understand that there would be this natural discussion going on, right?
Yes.
This is typical. At some point in the conversation, there had been concerns that Flynn might have said information to this Russian ambassador that was talking about sanctions. So when the Obama administration had placed sanctions on Russia, then Donald Trump gets elected. Apparently, Flynn is being accused of having conversations with this Russian ambassador and saying, don't you worry. Once Trump is in office, all these sanctions are going to be...
You're stepping over the line there, so you've got to retract that part of your statement.
What part?
That, what you just said is not, we don't know if he said that or not.
No, I said allegedly. Saying.
Even allegedly. Like, don't even bring that much of it into this.
But that's
wild speculation on somebody's part at this point.
Wild speculation is reality in media. That's what every single
that's not what we do.
And that's what I just said. I said
allegedly does not cover that. It's
this is what is being said. Okay. What is being said from your mainstream media.
All right.
I just laid it out for you how I was going to give you all the facts.
Well,
those are the facts.
That's not
No. The fact is that the media is saying this.
That's not a fact, okay?
But the media is saying that about him.
Just because the media is saying something, let's not confuse it with facts.
I think you're confused with what I'm saying.
The only fact that we have is that he had several phone calls with the U.S. ambassador to Russia on
December 29th. Which I understand. I'm just saying it is a fact that the media has been saying this about him. Do I believe it to be true? No.
Some in the media.
Until proven.
Some in the media. Not all in the media.
A lot.
I just don't want any...
A lot.
This is how the confusion happens, okay? Is because you put a real fact out there, and then you put a suggestion out there.
No, because the reality of it is, we don't know what's going on. A month ago, we had the FBI say, we don't have anything.
Right.
We looked at these conversations. Now, apparently, what is being reported in the media is the DOJ contacted the White House a month ago and said, hey, we have information on Flynn or conversations in this intercept that say things about sanctions.
And no one outside of the FBI and White House officials knows what was actually in those conversations.
Mm-hmm. So whether this was a part of a broader FBI investigation and it just so happened that this man was being recorded, in comes Flynn. Now, the big question is, and what is not being discussed, is the fact that we have somebody that who is a United States citizen, and we knock so much on Snowden and him being in the intelligence agency and revealing information. Well, that's what we have here. We have our intelligence agency revealing information about American citizen that could put him or other people in harm. Is that
generally speaking, we like leakers on this program. Generally speaking, we like whistleblowers. However, there is a difference and a line that needs to be drawn between rogue government contractor, such as Edward Snowden, and somebody who is a career intelligence officer, basically engaging in an act of political assassination, mm-hmm. which is what happened here. Okay. It is no secret that the intelligence community does not like Michael Flynn. It is no secret that Michael Flynn does not like the intelligence community.
No, they've been at each other for years.
He served under Barack Obama as Undersecretary of Defense for Arms Control and developed a very testy relationship with the Central Intelligence Agency and the FBI during that period. Called for massive reforms. Like Donald Trump, he doesn't think they do a good job. He doesn't think they're doing it right. He doesn't think they do it well. Now, did Michael Flynn talk to the Russians on December 29th? Yes, he did. No one disputes this. There are records of that phone call. We have we have recordings of that phone call and transcripts of that phone call because that phone call was being monitored by the U.S. government, which it does to a lot of Russian officials. Anybody who calls that Russian official, especially if you're somebody
going to get recorded,
if you're somebody like Michael Flynn, we're not talking about Steve Bannon. We're not talking about Mr. Goofball, Hollywood producer, media mogul, picking up the phone and being like, hey, Russia, what's going on? He has no idea how national security works. Michael Flynn was part of national security. Michael Flynn knows these phone calls are being recorded. He knows it. And I'm going to put out a theory at the end of this. Michael Flynn absolutely knows that that call is going to be recorded. Okay. He should know. And he's probably not going to make that phone call unless it's been authorized by somebody. But whether or not it was authorized is a separate question. Now, he's calling the Russian ambassador on the same day that Barack Obama, for reasons that totally mystify, with 3 weeks left in office, is handing down sanctions against the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I don't know what the guy's thinking. I understand it's your job to be president until the last day, but that's really one that you could have let slide until the next administration, and probably should have. Because what you're doing is you're heightening tensions with Russia during a period of transition in the United States, which at the very least is going to make life difficult.
I remember discussing it on the show and talking with you about it and saying, really, what was the point of doing that? Are they trying to set up the Trump administration for failure and having to deal with more things than it already has to?
It was a bad idea. That was politically motivated and vindictive, as near as I can. Now, that's speculation on my part.
No, he's a good
but
guy.
But looking at it from the outside, it's tough for me to read that as anything other than Barack Obama being vindictive. So Michael Flynn's talking to the Russian ambassador. He probably should not have done this. He probably did not do this without authorization from somebody. We don't know that yet, okay? Whether or not the sanctions came up in the conversation is a matter of some debate. People in the White House have seen the transcripts, and we'll get to that in a second because that's a problem. People in the White House have seen the transcripts, and even they are conflicted on what Flynn meant by what he said. Allegedly, the most complete version of this that I've been able to find anywhere is that the Russian ambassador said to Michael Flynn, what's going to happen with these sanctions? And Michael Flynn replied, we'll have to talk about that after Trump takes office.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he said.
It was like a kind of don't worry about it.
That's
like right now.
Even don't worry about it.
But like not right now. Like we'll deal with it later.
We'll talk about it when Donald. That there was no conversation. Still, he's making a bunch of calls to the Russian ambassador. Okay.
No, and that's what's so sad. It's being, as I was saying, portrayed in the media like he called up completely objectifying what had happened with Obama and making these sanctions and saying, no.
Now,
you have nothing to worry about. We're best friends now. You and Putin and Trump, you know, we got each other's back. That's the craziness that is being spit out.
These phone calls are allegedly in violation of the Logan Act, which was passed,
which has never been tried,
which was passed in 1799 to prevent private citizens from negotiating with foreign governments with which the United States has an ongoing dispute.
Again, 1799.
And the genesis of it is there was a conflict brewing with the French. The United States, John Quincy Adams was president at the time. The United States could not reach a resolution of that conflict. This doctor, Dr. Logan, goes over to France and gets a deal. He's lionized in the press. They're like, this is the best guy ever. Look, he got the deal when the government couldn't. And the government was like, wait a minute, you just undermined what we did. So no more private citizens going and talking to foreign governments.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with this is you couldn't necessarily prosecute this because Michael Flynn is not a private citizen. He is part of the transition team of a president of the United States.
Which happens every time there is a transition.
You have
contact with other countries.
He is not in office at this point in time. So technically he is a private citizen, but this isn't like Lisa Nichols is calling up the Russians and being like, hey, I'm going to take care of those sanctions for you, okay, guy? You just chill out. I got Donald's number. We're all good. So that's sketchy. That's mm-hmm. a problem to begin with. Now, where this gets more complicated is allegedly, at some point after this conversation, Mike Pence approaches Mike Flynn and says, did you talk to the Russians about the sanctions? And Mike Flynn says, no, I did not. Depending on what version of what Mike Flynn and the ambassador said you believe, that may have been a lie. And that's certainly how it's being presented,
mm-hmm.
is that he lied to the vice president of the United States to cover his tracks. The vice president of the United States subsequently goes on the Sunday morning shows and says, Mike Flynn never talked about the sanctions. Look, Mike Pence does not need anybody's help to look bad. Okay, he knew that on his own. But I'm sure he doesn't appreciate that. Now, this is, if he did lie to Mike Pence, that's a big problem and he has to go. Because,
of course,
if you're in the White House, you can lie to the American people, you can lie to Congress. You can't lie to other people in the White House. That's supposed to be like the sanctum sanctorum.
It got so much worse because I believe that the White House still has a communication issue. So again, just as you said, Mike Pence goes on the Sunday morning shows and says his thing. And then you have Kellyanne Conway that's kind of reiterating that again on Good Morning America, Today Show. But then everything's kind of going back and forth. There's no one clear voice that is representing the White House. And I think that's a problem.
And a lot of this really seems to hinge on whether or not the word promise comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Did he make a promise to the Russians? Because that's
Was there any
hint, suggestion, but more specifically, was there a promise that there would be a deal? Mike Flynn and the people who support him seem to be saying, no, there was no promise. Whereas his opponents seem to be saying it was inferred that there was a promise. He may not have come out and said the exact words, I promise you we're going to take care of this, but he said in as many words, we're going to take care of this.
Pinky swear. Yeah.
Right. And then he goes to Mike Pence and says something else entirely. You can't have that. And you especially can't have that coming out of your director of national security. Okay, that's not good. That guy's got to be above reproach. You need a Boy Scout in there. So all this is bad. And he probably deserved to lose his job. No one argues this. What we cannot have is him losing his job because somebody in the FBI or the CIA recorded a conversation and then gave details of that conversation to the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
This we cannot have.
Because that was happening first. You had the Washington Post first coming out, I believe it was on January 24th, and the Washington Post came out and was talking about these supposed conversations that were taking place between Flynn and the ambassador, but were making it seem like they had fact.
Well, they've got recordings and they've got transcripts and we know that they've been floating around the White House. We know that Donald Trump is aware of them because Donald Schumer wants to know what did Donald Trump know and when did he know it? And it was 2 weeks ago and what's Mike Flynn still doing there? And on. Go away, Chuck Schumer. You're not adding anything to this. You are a seagull flapping its wings and squawking into the wind while the rest of us are trying to figure out whether or not any laws were broken. In the case of the leak to the Washington Post, yes, laws were broken. This is an act of treason on par with Scooter Libby or Dick Cheney, whoever you thought did it, outing Valerie Plame as a CIA analyst and outing her husband as the source of the No WMDs in Iraq report.
And so that's why I ask you, why aren't the people that leaked these confidential conversations between General Flynn and the ambassador not being prosecuted?
That is a very, 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 very good question. And for all we know, they may be. Because there is, I said I was going to give you a theory about this thing. There is something about all of this that doesn't add up, okay? Mike Flynn is not a stupid guy. He's a three-star general. You do not get to be a three-star general by bucking protocol and by going rogue and by doing whatever the heck you want to do. So you got two possibilities here. Number one, Mike Flynn got some power and went completely off the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
That happens. So some guys are just waiting for their moment, and that happens. Number two, all of this was a setup. And all of this was a setup to entrap people in the intelligence community who have been leaking information to the press. And if there is a subsequent investigation, which there should be, these people will be rooted out and these people will be removed from their careers and these people may spend some time in a federal penitentiary.
So what you're saying is Flynn essentially was a scapegoat.
Mike Flynn...
Or was a sacrifice.
Mike, yeah, that's a better way to put it. Mike Flynn...
That's the word I was looking for. More of a sacrifice from Washington with people that had different plans.
Mike Flynn, to put it one way, was bait for an administration that is trying to find out where these leaks are coming from. Because these leaks were plaguing the Obama administration as well. And they never found any of them. Now, Mike Flynn walks away. There's not going to be any prosecution of Mike Flynn under the Logan Act.
Of course.
Okay. He's not going to jail for Logan Act violations. No one in the history of the United States has gone to jail for Logan Act violations. But the people who leaked this could be career operatives with decades of experience in the CIA or the FBI. This is one of the things that a lot of Americans don't know, is that the head of government may come and go. Congress may come and go. People who work at the CIA and the FBI have a tendency to do that for life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 2 or 3 year job. We're talking about
straight out of college, you're in and you're retiring with the CIA.
We're talking about people who are in for decades and who know all the secrets about everybody. And there has been a rule. There's a Bloomberg article about this today that was very, very well put, talking about what happened in the Mike Flynn case as basically being weaponized information and basically describing this as an assassination by our political assassination by our intelligence services and bringing up the point that this is a soft coup.
This an is investigation within
this is what our
investigators.
Our intelligence services have always had this capability, but there has always been a rule that when you collect intelligence about a ranking member of the United States government, you don't share that information with anybody under any circumstances. You may blackmail them behind the scenes.
I mean, you try to walk out of Langley with a small piece of paper. You are arrested and put in jail for 10 years. So you talk about people having lifelong occupancies in a certain seat within the CIA or the FBI. This is because pretty much the only reason why you're leaving is because you're retiring or you're getting kicked out.
Yeah. Now, this is out of character for Mike Flynn. It's not out of character for the people who hate him to go after him and to try and take him down. But if we have our intelligence agencies sabotaging members of our government, we no longer have a democratically elected government in this country. So while we support whistleblowers, while we support leakers, in this case, we have a problem. This is a constitutional crisis. Everybody's throwing that, oh, we're in a constitutional crisis. This is a constitutional crisis.
But if your theory is correct, at least the people that are trying to figure out where this is going. At least that is the main goal of the government.
Well,
and they do want to get rid of this. And understanding that the power does come from the people, we elect a president, and a president essentially elects all the people around him.
But our intelligence agencies are somewhere in a different part of Washington.
So yes, as you said,
unaccountable
though,
to any of that.
As you said, we can go with the theory of him just having a mental lapse.
Could have gone off the reservation.
Of, you know, logical. And then we have an inside job,
could've,
essentially.
Could have been bait. Someone committed treason to make this happen. And no one in America should be happy about that. No one.
Because the likelihood, though, of having a whole entire agency, so say the CIA or the FBI, to have a whole entire agency trying to get out one person, the likelihood of that,
but here's
very slim.
But here's the issue with this. This is a question about loyalty to the United States. And there are some people out there, Columbia Journalism Review, who have described whoever leaked this as a patriot. This person is not a patriot. This is not the act of a patriot. This is an act of treason. This is using classified, top secret signals intelligence to bring down a member of the president's cabinet, unprecedented in United States history. Nobody elected the CIA. Nobody elected the FBI. They do not have the right to interfere with government like this. And they have always been respectful enough of their positions not to do this. Donald Trump would be well within his right to go on a major house cleaning operation
within
right now
and
start throwing
agencies.
People out left and right. I have a feeling we're going to get an investigation and we're going to find out who's responsible for this. And we are going to see some heads roll. In the meantime, look, Mike Flynn, no big loss. We got somebody else in there. But the way that this was handled, just because you like the outcome doesn't mean you should like what happened here. Because what happened here is probably the scariest thing that's happened since Donald Trump was elected president. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. It is WMFO Medford. On the Tell, Mikey D is coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week, and the strangest stories from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Can't explain this feeling. you ready to play another match?
I don't think so.
What's the matter? You got a date or something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what's his name?
Just a second. Bill? No, Steve.
What you gonna do?
Let's have a little fun, you know.
Cindy, does he have an STD?
A what?
A sexually transmitted disease.
I have no idea.
Sexually transmitted diseases. Something to avoid. Because STDs don't make decisions. People do. A message from the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. People who enjoy winter sports can't wait for the first snowfall. But winter sports can also mean broken bones and other injuries. For instance, every year, skiing causes tens of thousands of injuries and about 30 deaths in the U.S. A lot of those are from head injuries, so skiers of all ages should wear helmets. Head injuries tend to occur late in the day when skiers may be tired, so watch out for fatigue. Using a helmet is also a great idea for children who go ice skating or sledding. Other sledding safety tips. Only go sledding in designated areas that are free of trees, posts, and fences. Adults should supervise children, and all sledders should sit facing forward, but never head first. Use a sled with runners and a steering mechanism, which is safer than toboggans or snow discs. Prevent winter sports injuries so you can focus on the fun. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and this is The Big Picture. It's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week's news. What do you get, Derek?
Why am I going first?
Because I need to pull mine up.
Oh, my
God. My computer just freaked out
okay.
on me.
Okay, well, I got a couple of things. How does more Pokemon sound?
Ooh.
Yay, more Pokemon! If you are a Pokemon Go fan, and gosh darn it, you should be, probably the biggest news in the past year, they're going to be releasing Generation 2 Pokemon later this week. So look for that Android update and then get back outside because there are going to be about 80 new Pokemans for you to go out there and catch. Now, if that isn't exciting enough, and gosh darn it, it ought to be, how about a follow-up to Love Actually?
So excited. Richard, I heard about this.
Richard Curtis, yes, who directed Love Actually, said that he is going to put together a short film updating what happened to all the characters in Love Actually, apparently with the exception of Alan Rickman and Emma Stone. Not Emma Stone. The other Emma. The one that's not in La La Land. You know who I'm talking
yep.
about. Because Alan Rickman is no longer with us. And it is going to air during Red Nose Day in the United Kingdom.
Can I think of her name?
That's coming up in a couple of weeks. And then we're going to get it here in the United States on NBC.
Thompson.
Emma Thompson. We're going to get it here in the United States on NBC in May. So it's going to be a short film to tie up all the loose ends. Very exciting. Very pumped for that.
Love that movie.
Love, actually. And almost everybody in the original cast has agreed to be a part of this. I did not see Bill Nighy's name in there.
Oh, really?
I did not, but... I can't believe that you'd do it without him.
Well, today announced James Beard Awards. So the big, big awards for chefs. The semifinalists, Boston represented very, very well. Some names that we have heard of before. So Oleana, have you ever been there in Cambridge?
No.
It is amazing. Anna Sorum, she was nominated for Best Chef, Best Pastry Chef, also from there. But new South End SRV, it's kind of like an Italian wine bar style. They were nominated for Best New Restaurant. And I have to mention one of my favorite places in Portland, Eventide. They also were nominated for Best in the Northeast. So very, very cool. So exciting to see. You know, sometimes I think Boston's forgotten about as a dining destination, one of those big hubs. There's a couple that just popped up from Portsmouth, too, and the dining scene is out of control up there. I've been meaning to get up there and venture out to some of their restaurants.
There's a reason why Boston is forgotten. It's because for decades we had bad food up here.
Yeah.
And people have not caught on to the fact that we stopped having bad food.
No, I think a lot of people know that we have really good food. You can tell that by big-name chefs in other cities coming to Boston.
But people from other parts of the country... don't look at Boston and they go,
a dining destination.
There's a culinary
because of course you think that you're only going to get, you know, a lobster roll and a cup of chowder and call it a day.
Yeah, that's what everybody comes up here for. It's like, oh, let me get a lobster roll and some sweet corn and I'm all good, because everything else they eat is like Frank's and beans and boiled cabbage. It's like, we've moved beyond that. We've embraced foods that aren't boiled and spice. It took us a while, but we're there.
Hmm.
We do that.
Yeah, so good luck to all the finalists.
Nice. That's nationally, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not just like Boston. That's like they're going to be competing nationally. Mm-hmm. They're going to lose to someplace from San Francisco. They always do.
Anasorm actually won last year, so.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Well, maybe not.
Get over there. There's actually Samra down the street, her sister restaurant. Go. Of course, we end the show every week with That's the Thing That Happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Springfield.
Massachusetts?
And the weeds.
Springfield.
A pot shop owner in Springfield, Massachusetts is getting a big hit of viral buzz after dressing up as a marijuana Sasquatch and crashing a live TV report. Dave Mack runs Potco, a gardening supply store catering to the cannabis cultivators. One of his promotional tools is a costume character named Pot Squatch, a bud-loving Bigfoot type of creature with marijuana leaves all over him. When Mack saw an WWLP meteorologist setting up for a live weather report on Thursday, he decided to smoke up some publicity by walking in the background. Quote, I was in the store waiting for some people from New York and I saw them setting up, he told the Huffington Post. I saw the bushes behind them and it was just too perfect. It's a matter of opinion, since Pot Squatch managed to fall twice during his brief brush with fame. He was happy with the results, though. Meanwhile, Boston Globe writer Steve Anner joked that as long as Pot Squatch is only covered in 1 ounce of marijuana, there should be no problems.
Pot Squatch. All right. You know what? Pot Squatch. California. A pilot created a problem at John Wayne Airport in Orange County on Monday. After being told to land his plane on runway 20L, the pilot instead pointed his plane at and landed on a taxiway, passing over an American Airlines 737 with 110 passengers and 6 crew on board. During the landing, the pilot asked air traffic controllers, quote, was that airliner meant to be underneath me, end quote, at which point controllers told the pilot that he had landed on a taxiway, a violation of FAA safety rules. The pilot's name? Harrison Ford, who probably should have brought a Wookiee with him as a co-pilot. The 74-year-old Ford is now under investigation by the FAA and could lose his pilot's license.
Whoops.
Might be time to take the pilot's license.
Would you
license
rather have your pilot
away
do that or your pilot be drunk?
I don't need Han Solo endangering 110 innocent Americans because he
also
could
have had Air Force One.
Place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, that is all the time that we've got. Next week, folks, is
yes,
our
exciting
annual Oscars preview show. We're going to help you win the big monies.
Just listen to me. I'm beating Derek 2 years to 1 year.
We'll get into all of this next week, but we're going to win. We're going to tell you how to win the big monies. So be back next week for our annual Oscars show. Until then, Lisa Nichols.
It was lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Stay safe, everybody.
Get a power increase, and we should get a better lease. Everybody would hear us then at 91.5 FM.